You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, y'all. My name is Rebecca Hedman. Hi. The theme of our student stories chapel today is redemption. And with that, I'm going to read Revelation 21, 1-7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be with his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son."
Good morning, y'all. This morning, I'm going to share my testimony with you. My testimony starts, I was raised in Northeast Texas. in a very small town. I was raised in a devoted Christian family. Went to church with my dad as the worship leader, and went to a Christian school up until the sixth grade, when my parents then decided to bring my brother, sister, and I home to be homeschooled. I gave my life to God probably around the fourth grade. I can't remember exactly what age that was, but God has been a big part of my life for my entire life. From a young age, I was immersed in sports, soccer, track and field, two basketball teams at one time, and I adore horses, so I was a very active horse girl, taking three lessons a week, working with my own horses, working with other horses, working at the barn that I took lessons at, riding with friends, and traveling out of town on the weekends to go fox hunting. For 2 years of my life, this is what I did until my life drastically changed. Between the age of 12 and 13, I began a basketball season as a strong, active farm girl who could take on almost any of the high school guys in an arm wrestling competition and could boss any horse around in the round pen. But by the end of the basketball season, I had lost 30 to 35 pounds of muscle weight. And I hadn't changed any of my eating style or my eating habits or my exercising style. My family and I realized that there was something wrong, but we didn't know what it was. I went to my chiropractor one time. I'd had a horse riding accident that caused my sciatic nerve to be pinched frequently, and the chiropractor was what helped to alleviate the pain most of the time. And my monthly checkup with him, I walked in and he looked at my mom and he said, "You better get that girl to a doctor. There's something wrong." So we saw a local practitioner. Of course, they did a lot of blood work. They told us that whatever was wrong with me, they couldn't handle, and they were recommending me to see somebody at Dallas Children's Hospital. Over the span of a couple months of going from my small town in Northeast Texas to Dallas, Texas, to see doctors, I did numerous and copious amounts of tests. I've probably done every single test that you could probably think of. Tons of blood work. And the doctor came in one day, and it was just me and my mom in there. And she came in and she said, "We are diagnosing you with 5 different autoimmune diseases, some of them which are chronic and could very well take your life in a matter of a year or so." I just shrugged my shoulders. I was like, "All right, cool." The doctor actually told us later that she was surprised that my mom and I didn't break into tears. But I told my mom later after we had left the doctor's office, I said, "I know that God is not done with my life yet. This is not how I'm going out." And she said she believed the same. They immediately wanted to start treatments, but my family was currently in the process of moving here to the beautiful state of Kentucky. And my dad, as a contractor and running his own business, and my family living on a farm, it took about a little more than a year, to move from Texas, 13-hour trip, and to settle in and feel like we were on our feet to seek out treatment. When that time came, we reached out to Kosar Children's Hospital up in Louisville, and they ran some more tests and they started me on treatments. For about 6 months, I did 4 intensive treatments of large amounts of steroids and IVIG, which, if you don't know, that basically means they have to kill my immune system and give me a new one and hope that my body doesn't reject it. I was on many medications at the time, and thankfully, these treatments set me on the road to recovery. After this time, I felt like there needed to be a change of for the 6 to 8 months of doing these treatments, that was great. And I absolutely believed that that is where God had me. But then I just knew that something was wrong. Some of the medications that I was taking would actually cause me to throw up, and I had to take these 3 times a day. And that's not a side effect. So my mom and I reached out to a natural doctor that was certified here in Central Kentucky, and we scheduled a visit to see her. In her visit, she asked me to do a lot of tests, a lot more blood work and stuff. I was like, "Sure, I know how to do this. I've done this probably 100 times already." And I went into her office, and my mom and I sat down with her, and she looked at me in the eye, and she said, "I don't know how you're sitting here. You should be dead. The levels of your adrenal glands are so through the roof that you're actually in liver failure now, and if you are not dead now, you should be in the next day or so." That was when my mom left the room, left the offices, and cried. That scared me a little bit. But again, I had this peace within me that God was not done with me yet. I was put on a ton of supplements, and praise the Lord, my body began to thrive again. It took a long, long time for recovery. And even to this day, I am still in recovery. Fast forward, I am blessed to say that I am not on medications anymore. And although at one point in my life, I was taking up to 60 pills a day, I only take a few supplements daily to help my body stay on track for recovery. I have to continue being active. I have to continue pushing myself out there to do the things that might make me feel uncomfortable. But I know that this is still helping me grow. I am here today because of God's restoration in my life. I didn't know that I would go on such a journey, and there are still moments that I don't understand. But I know, and I place my hope in the Lord. You may not understand what God is doing in your life, but please remember that He has a purpose for you, a purpose full of hope and redemption. To quote the courageous class hymn, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my rock, my strength, and my song." I hope that each of you can find that in your life, in every situation. Thank you.
I love you too, Ian. When Rebecca asked me to speak in chapel, I'm not gonna lie, I was really, really intimidated, especially since I'm sharing my testimony. I haven't shared my testimony a lot since I've been here. In fact, I've been almost kind of quiet about it. And I was talking to my parents a couple nights ago, just wrestling with, oh man, I'm gonna be in front of all of Asbury. And I really haven't told that many people about my testimony. And they were like, maybe there's a reason that God was waiting for this moment. And that really gave me some comfort. So here we go. Some of the wisest words that I've ever heard came from my brother Alex, and he said, "God is in the business of making dead things live." And I realized how incredibly true that is. When you look through scripture, God breathed life into Adam when he was only dust in Genesis. He raised an army out of dry bones. He even raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And what I realized is you and I don't need to be exceptions to the theme of resurrection. We're all dead without him, but with him he offers us new life. There was a part in my life where I was hurtling away from God and frankly towards death, my freshman year of high school. And during that time I was given a picture of new life. In my high school youth group, we did a thing called prayer nights where we would sit in small groups and people would pray silently and ask God what he wanted to say to someone, if anything, and then they would share it afterwards. And someone shared with me a picture. And they said that they saw in their mind's eye just a picture of a man on a skyscraper, and he jumps off and he's hurtling towards the ground, but before he hits it, God grows wings on his back and he soars. I didn't realize it then, but this picture is a picture of my life. God grew wings on me, and he did this in me. So, I was born into a Christian house with two older brothers, Alex, and then the oldest Christian. And we were really, really, really close. The phrase "brothers in more than blood" kind of comes to mind. We were best friends. My dad became a pastor when I was six. We moved when I was, like six. And we came to a small town named Windsor, and my dad planted a church there. And there's a stereotype about pastors' kids that they're typically rebellious, and it's kind of true. The three of us were definitely fitting into that stereotype, especially younger in life. Even though I always believed in God, I wanted to buck authority. I wanted to just be rebellious against my parents, and God kind of fell in with them of something that I wanted to fight. But I wasn't the most rebellious of all of the three of us. My oldest brother, Christian, was by far the most rebellious. By my eighth grade year, when he was beginning to graduate high school, him and my parents were on very, very bad terms. He was breaking lots of rules and frankly just wanting to be kicked out of the house. And eventually my parents did that. They kicked him out right after he graduated, a couple months after. And he even admitted after the fact that during the argument where they decided to kick him out, he kind of wanted to get kicked out. He wanted to push them to do that. Christian always really struggled with his faith. He knew God existed, but he struggled to surrender. And I think, like all of us, he had a big pride problem. After Christian was kicked out, he moved to Oregon for 3 months, and that was my eighth grade year. During that time, something really, really changed in me. When I was young, I was always a happy-go-lucky, jolly kid, kind of like I am today. But I became incredibly sad and bitter towards God my eighth grade year. I was in unhealthy, manipulative friendships. I was isolating myself from my family, especially my parents. And I became convinced that God didn't care about me. I fell into a deep depression. And I thought about suicide every day. Eventually, Christian came back from Oregon after about 3 months, and he reconciled with my parents. He didn't move back in with us, but he was spending time with us. It was just so good to kind of have our family back together. Then one night, I had gone to bed in the hopes that I would have a snow day the next day. And without any warning, Christian left the house. And my dad found Christian's suicide note. And I lost my brother that night. And the sadness that I already felt grew. And I felt completely hopeless. In Revelation 21, Jesus promises, "Behold, I will make all things new." Do you remember the picture of the skyscraper? When that picture was shared with me, like 4 months after Christian's death, I went to youth group, kind of just going out on a limb. And I just said, okay, I'll go. And when that picture was shared with me, I was thinking of jumping off a building. And all of my beliefs that God didn't care about me, that I was unimportant in his eyes, came to a shattering end, because I never told anyone about that, and God knew exactly my thoughts. He knew exactly where I was. And even more than that, he promised that he was gonna fix it, that he would not let go of me, and that I was gonna soar. Even when I'm running from God, he pursued me. And even when all of us are running from God, he pursues us. I don't know exactly when it happened, at some point between my eighth grade year and my freshman year, but at some point I stopped running from God. And I turned around and I was ready to work really, really hard and fix myself and run all of the way back to him. And I found that he was already standing right there. He chases us down because all he wants is us. I don't have the words to describe how incredibly good God has been to me. And my family has been through one of the hardest things that a family can go through. Even when we don't see any hope coming from a situation, a terrible situation, God has the power to redeem it. And We need to trust him that he can and he will, because that's who he is. He loves to make dead things live again. When I finally turned to God, something changed in my life. I was no longer able to be hopeless. And that doesn't happen for everyone. God blessed me immensely. He turned my family's mourning into hope. We grew so much closer together. Me and my brother Alex actually started walking with God, and my family very quickly became my best friends. Even my parents, who before I was as rebellious as I could be as an eighth grader. He turned my depression into joy. When, before I was so incredibly lost, he turned me to actually see hope in the world despite what I had been through. And he gave me a confidence in the joy that we all have before us. Revelation 21:3 says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, what you struggle with, God promises us that he will be with us. And we all we need to do is say yes and push in towards him. So I'm gonna pray. Lord, thank you for, God, thank you for who you are, that you love to make beautiful things out of ashes, that even when terrible, terrible things happen, you, it's not like you don't see them, and it's not like you don't care, but you are so incredibly present, and you still love on us so deeply. And Lord, we know that even when those terrible things happen and we're in the thick of it, we know that you're still good. So Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name.